Jim Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. I was looking at the calendar today, and I think the last IHSA Interscholastic Athletic event occurred on Wednesday, March the 11th. So we're talking to Craig Anderson, IHSA Executive Director, on Friday, August the 7th. And Monday, August the 10th, is the official start of the IHSA fall sports season. So, Craig Anderson, can you, when I say that, what's your reaction to Monday high school sports resuming?
Yeah, well, I honestly can't wait for Monday to get here because it's absolutely exciting, and it'll be a breath of fresh air to know that our kids are back engaged with coaches. Well, we've done a little bit over the summer, but just the thought of, you know, falling in line with the guidelines and everything that we've been through since that March time, it'll be refreshing to know that while it's limited in the number of sports we would ordinarily offer in the fall, it'll be rewarding and refreshing to know the kids are out there practicing initially, and then within a few days our golfers will be able to compete, and then likewise with our other fall sports. So really excited about knowing that that day has come and that we'll have some activity.
Yeah, you know, most school districts with their administration and their coaches are still, you know, even a week out, are still digesting, you know, the modified schedule. Is there any common question that you've had in the aftermath of, you know, the modified calendar being released?
Yeah, there has a lot of questions about, you know, how the governor's come out with some guidance, and so trying to work through that and some of the restrictions on scheduling. And so we've had a number of questions related to who they can schedule with and how is that going to work out per the governor's direction. You know, they could schedule anybody within their conference. If it happens to fall outside COVID regions, no problem. But then for non-conference events, the direction is to simply schedule with those in their COVID region. So a number of questions related to that, and as they've tried to work through their schedule, kind of revamp that for the fall. That's been a common question from our schools. But and then additionally, you know, trying to stick where they had big events and invitational scheduled, you know, how could they or could they at all conduct any of those activities? So working through all those questions, those have been really primary as we've adjusted to the new limits and the new schedule.
Now, specifically speaking to the fall with cross country and golf in our area, now what does it mean for the state tournament series for those two sports? Now, the current restrictions, they would not allow a state tournament final per se in golf or cross country.
That's the way we're understanding it at this point. Because of the regionalization restriction, although we need to get with IDPH and the governor's office, there's a reference to a state kind of championship on the IDPH website when you look at level 3, which is where our low-risk sports are falling. But we think the limits on the regionalization and the limits on the gatherings will make it difficult to conduct for those sports, an event that would go all the way to a state championship. So we're still working and trying to map out exactly what that looks like, and would prepare something for consideration for our board at their August 24th board meeting to determine if we do in fact want to conduct a state series, what should that look like? And then, you know, we'll let them decide at that meeting.
I'm just curious, and maybe this isn't a fair question, or you probably couldn't answer this. How many plans, when I look back to that meeting last week, I was wondering, how many plans is this group sorting through right now to come through with this modified calendar? How many different plans were you looking at in regards to before announcing the final plan there? I can't imagine.
Yeah, it was a number, and internally, I've shared this before, I think, to somebody, but we changed the name of the plan that the board adjusted a little bit as they reviewed it and made their decision on it. But that was originally what we called Plan D. And then we had plans beyond Plan D, so we modified the name of it to just bring it in line with what we thought made sense. But even with those plans that were constructed, you know, we had member schools and conferences kind of putting together some ideas. And so we really reviewed, I couldn't guess at the number of different plans and suggestions about how things could shift and within the calendar. And again, all of them, I think, with the intention of getting all of our seasons completed on some schedule, though some, you know, are a little limiting in the number of weeks. But yeah, we had a number of them. I honestly don't know the number, but we've looked and reviewed a number of schedules and still recognize that there's probably a high likelihood that the one that we established last week could be modified depending upon what happens in, you know, in the coming weeks and months, as we move through the fall and then transition to the winter. You know, what will we be able to conduct on that timeline? And so there'll be adjustments to this, and we expect that.
Yeah, so I'm assuming when you say Plan D, there was a Plan A, a Plan B, and a Plan C, but I'm assuming that kind of the guidelines set forth by the Illinois Department of Public Health probably through process of elimination eliminated Plan A, Plan B, Plan C.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because we started with Plan A being, you know, let's conduct all of our sports on calendar as they're scheduled, you know, with very little limitations. And that was, you know, quickly something we knew wasn't going to happen. So yeah, you're right. Especially that if that's Plan A, then we had made our way, you know, less, more restrictive on the way. And so yeah, that really was how it played out.
All right. And so it looks like the next big date then is going to be November the 15th with the start of the winter season. So from an IHSA administrative standpoint, you know, where is the date at on the calendar for, I guess, you guys to determine, well, we're going to start November 15th or we're not going to start November 15th, and what is going to be the domino there if we can't start on November 15th? So is there like a target date, you know, when you look ahead on the calendar in terms of where we have to make a final decision regarding that November 15th start date?
Yeah, no, we haven't set a calendar date, but generally I would say sometime in early November, we will have to be making that decision. And, you know, the decision will be based upon, as all of this has been, the guidance of the Illinois Department of Public Health and the governor's office. And so, you know, as they indicate to us and on their timeline as to which, if any, of those winter activities we have scheduled can be conducted, obviously mid-November is the start of the practice time, and then, you know, into early December we would be hoping to now conduct some competitions. And so it'll really likely be based upon where they determine and when they determine what that time period might look like for us. So yeah, there's some time to travel to that, you know, get closer to that date to see. But I think, you know, for our member schools, that we're targeting to hope to get some response back in relation to that from IDPH in early November so that we can let our schools know.
Yeah, and then, you know, I know you were asked about this, I think, during the statewide press conference, in terms of wiggle room for the calendar. So if, say if you can't start November 15th with the winter sports season, and say it's 2 weeks out from that, like maybe November 29th, whatever. So then does that, from a calendar standpoint, does that push, you know, the rest of the seasons back 2 weeks, or is that a situation where the winter sports would be shortened by 2 weeks, or is that something that is, you know, I'm sure these are the 8,000 questions you guys have internally, or has that not been decided yet?
Yeah, we haven't decided any of those specifically. I think we're waiting to see what happens. You know, in general, I think our seasons are rather restrictive in terms of a calendar and length, and so while we want things to be fair and as fair as they can be, and we recognize and we've had a lot of responses from families, especially that our spring season is presently a little limiting. So I think we'd have to be cautious in how much movement we make. But yeah, those are going to be decisions our board will make as we discover, you know, what delays we have. In some sports, the delays might be for the entire season. I think of the sport of wrestling and the challenges that sport, as high risk as it is, to be able to get started. So would we take individual sports and just shift them entirely to a new season? While others might be able to get underway because they're a medium risk, all those things will have to be sifted out. But we've made no formal decisions about how that'll play out at this point.
And then, I mean, it's fair to say that this school year, crowning outright state champions in sports is going to be almost nearly impossible, right? I mean, that's just the way the calendar looks and the postseason windows that have been set up within each specific season. I mean, this is one of those rare years where there probably isn't going to be outright state champs. Is it fair to say that?
Under our current restrictions, I would say yes. Now, if something happens and we get a vaccine and we move to phase 5 in the Restore Illinois plan, then at that point, I think our board would be challenged to decide. You know, it really opens things up. That's our understanding at that point, even if that's possible. But if it is, then I think, you know, we may look at some overlap of those seasons ending and starting if we would extend a postseason a little farther, assuming that state championships could happen. Because, you know, if we can, we want to. You know, it helps everyone, including our association in general, if we could have spectators and let them come and enjoy the experience and earn some revenue off of that. It helps the association move forward. So I think a number of things could be determined, but your initial thought, based upon what we know now, again, not knowing when and if a vaccine is going to be available, but based upon what we know now, your statement is correct. And the schedule we've created really doesn't lend itself for a state championship to be crowned in many of our sports or activities because of the limiting nature of what we anticipate, again, knowing simply what we know now and the fact that the rates are growing or staying, positivity rates aren't decreasing significantly. And so, it's going to be a challenge.
All right. The final question I have for you today, speaking with IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson, I've seen some more attention and more publicity involving student athletes from Illinois transferring out of state and playing elsewhere. And I know I'm speaking here in Western Illinois, you know, I've heard some stories over in the MAC, basically the Iowa Quad Cities, they're getting some kids from Illinois. You know, how concerned are you about seeing that and then kind of hearing some of these, you know, secondhand accounts? Well, they're going to transfer over, they're going to play, and they're going to do it residency-wise, and then they're going to come back in Illinois and, you know, again, with parental residency and play back in Illinois. You know, so this pandemic has created that type of issue specifically for the border communities that border other states, and we can speak to that here in Western Illinois. I don't know, is that concerning, or what can you say about, or what can you speak to in regards to that?
Yeah, well, we're definitely aware of it, and that's another thing of things that have been communicated back to us. We're continuing to hear about that. I've also heard from executive directors in those states because, you know, throughout this process, we are weekly in connection in a Zoom meeting and sharing what's happening in our states just to kind of get a feel. And I think generally, you know, the neighboring states are going to be adhering to their transfer and residence bylaws. And I'm aware of some that have reported back that, you know, some are arriving in their state but finding that they're not eligible in their state. Again, so each state has it. Each state has its own separate transfer and residence eligibility rules. And, you know, our board at the last meeting said we're going to work off of our transfer and residence bylaws. The fact that a sports season has been modified for us and moved to a different season would not in itself prevent somebody from going to play volleyball in Iowa, and then returning to Illinois and playing volleyball in the spring. But, you know, like other states are, when students transfer back to our school, they're going to have to meet all of our transfer and residence bylaws. And so that, as you kind of indicated, the only way to do that is to make a move, a permanent move, terminating occupancy of the previous residence, and then, you know, kind of doing the same thing in a return with the entire family unit. So there's, that conversation continues, and, you know, families are making decisions for whatever reason, and, you know, you try to let those decisions be family decisions and try not to impact that. But, you know, we, of course, as you can imagine, have some of our member schools that have a variety of opinions related to that. Some think, you know, where's the harm? And others are saying, you know, we shouldn't be allowing that. We should strictly be saying you have one season a year. Though there are some illustrations in our bylaws that say that, you know, when they are falling in different seasons, that, you know, that's not something that would prevent a student on a move from having eligibility. So we're cautious with it, and need to be, in my opinion. And so that's where we're at. But we're going to require that students meet the transfer and residence bylaws in order to have eligibility when they return, or for all transfers. I mean, we're not going to change those rulings.
Yeah, so, but as it stands, I mean, if you meet those guidelines, the transfer guidelines, you could realistically transfer to Iowa in the fall, play football, and come back in the spring and play football in Illinois if you meet the guidelines, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, it's so crazy that this pandemic has resulted in these type of issues. Well, we appreciate the time with Craig Anderson, and we mainly wanted to get him on the air today and just really say that, hey, it's great. You know, we've waited since March 11th. Last time there was an interscholastic athletic event in Illinois with basketball and the season getting canceled and the spring sports getting canceled. Finally, the fall sports will begin Monday, August the 10th, and that's a positive sign. It'll be nice to see kids in Illinois competing again in IHSA interscholastic athletics. Craig Anderson, thank you very much. Looking forward to Monday.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, Jim.
You're listening to WRMJ.